Flatus, with special features from theflatusshow.com.
Hello. I just had a nice refreshing shower, and I just, as I came out, I saw a commercial for American Express say they have these couples saying, "I'm a saver, I'm a spender." So we make a perfect couple. And then this woman says, "I'm a saver until I spend it," right? And she looks happy. They look rich and happy. American Express has this program where every time you spend, every time you use their card, you get this, you save something. Some money goes into your savings account, and you earn 5% on it, right? But the thing is, you're paying, it's not from the credit card, right? So if so that increases your credit card debt. So instead of losing 21% or whatever, you're only losing 15%. So it's this ploy to make it seem like using a credit card or having credit card debt increases your savings. Isn't that wrong? Because, you know, we don't have that thing on the East Coast. They didn't roll that product out on the East Coast. Every time you use the card, they'll put money in a savings account for you. And then increases the savings rate. I wonder if the savings rate in the East Coast is higher than on the West Coast. It'd be interesting to find out. Hi, kitty. Oh, this is the friendly kitty. Anyway, the thing is, I was looking at the price of real estate here. The houses are like, I don't know, $300,000. Like $230,000 to $300,000. And rent, though, is pretty cheap. You can get a one-bedroom apartment for $500 to $600. You can't do that on the East Coast. So the rents have not changed. What it is people are buying here, not renting here. That's probably why the rental market, where Boston's, a lot of renters in Boston. But even outside of Boston, the rent is high, you know? Because the real estate market, isn't that cute? Because when I first moved to Massachusetts, I had a one-bedroom, had a studio. I was paying $600 a month. That was nice. Hi, Taz. Come here. Taz. Come here. Good. Come here. He's afraid of me now. Come on, Taz, it's me. The cat is like greeting me. Hi, Taz. Which one are you, sugar or spice? The cat. Hi, you can smell me. Here. There's a cute little dog here. Look at you. You rival Jose, Taz. And then there's a cat, really beautiful cat. And she's friendly. She's beautiful colorings. I bet you that one's Spice. What do you think, Taz? Is that sugar or spice?
I don't care, because I'm a dog.
You're afraid of me now, huh? Oh, I washed all my scent off. You're skittish.
Your little skitty dog is me. It's Kenty. You don't smell like Kenty. You smell like a girl.
Oh, here's the other cat. And it's saying hi to me.
Hi.
Hi, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hi, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hi, little doggy, doggy, doggy. The animals. Aw, let's all be friends. Let's all be friends. Let's all be friends. Hi. Good dog, Taz. It's me. How you doing? Hi, sugar, or spice, whatever you are. Oh, good Taz. Good dog. Look, you kids are all friendly now. Oh, you smell in the butt there. Mm-hmm.
Look, Jazz. Oh. Hi.
Here. Oh. Good boy. Oh, you walked in your butt. You have an anal gland you need to have expressed, honey.
You have an anal gland expressed.
The cat that's not friendly just came out and sat right in front of me. And I'm petting it. I'm just assuming one of the cats was not friendly. It's 10 o'clock. I have to get going soon, kids. I have to see if my clothes are dry.
Kitty.
My clothes aren't done. I'll give Sister Paula a call. Hold on. Hi, Rebecca Nay, please. Oh, Paula. Hi, Paula. I had the wrong number, but I was going to call you, too. Okay, well, anyway, is 11 o'clock okay? Noon? Well, okay, I was wondering, well, we're supposed to meet. I don't know how, the reason why I was thinking earlier, right, is because Rebecca Nay wanted to have lunch at 1:30. So I don't know how long it will take to get to her place, to her... Do you know where she works? Do you know how far it is? Okay. How far it is. Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Did you want to go... You want to go to lunch with us? Because it will be my treat. Okay. Okay. Okay, how about if we do it at noon, right? We'll start at noon, and then if we have to continue, we can do it in the car. No, it won't be. I mean, the thing is, with my interviews, they're just conversations. So, you know, they could last as long as you really want it to. You know, if you want to stop talking. Okay. Okay. We'll do that then. I'll come to your house at 12 noon sharp. We'll have the hour interview, and then we'll drive to lunch. Yep. The only thing is I need to find, probably, is there parking on the street or house? Okay. That's fine. Well, I have the address, and I remember you showing me the building when I was there, so I think as long as the number's on the building, I think I'll be able to find it. Yep. Yep. Oh, 99? Okay, so is that your apartment number, or is that 904? Does it say on there 99? Do you have that number on there? Okay, Okay, I'll remember that. I don't have a pen with me, but I'll write it down as soon as I get off of here. Yeah, I have your name, so. Okay, so. Okay, so okay, I'm gonna get there a little earlier then. I'll get there a quarter of. We'll see what happens. I don't know how long it takes to drive. I mean, actually, every place I've been, it doesn't really take more than a half hour. It's like, that's the longest drive, so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have the address. I have the address, and I have a machine, a GPS system. So all I have to do is type in the address, and it gives me the directions and the map. Yeah, yeah. I rented that when I got the car. It's she gave me the address for the restaurant, which is right near where she works. But I have that actually. It's not on me right now because I'm in the house of my guest. I was doing some wash. And it's in the trailer. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Sure. You are a little cat. You just love me. I thought you were the one that didn't like people. I thought you'd want to hit all the time, and you're coming to me twice. You know I love animals, don't you? Yes, you do. Yeah, I am in. I'm here. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, that's right. That's exactly what she said. Yep, and that sounds familiar. Yeah, that name sounds familiar. So, listen, I'll see you about 11:45. And in my interviews, basically, you know, I want to talk about how Christine Jorgensen, like, you know, how you grew up and, like, what Christine Jorgensen meant for you as a trans person, right? This is what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? Well, that will be... Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, because I'm interested in finding out, because, you know, people today have a different... They don't... It's sort of, you're a pioneer, you know? We're out here in the Southwest, and you're a pioneer of, you know, transgender pioneer, you know? That'll be good. That'll be great. See you then. Bye-bye, Paula. Bye. 5-9. Come on. Hey, Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca Nay. This is Kenty. We're going to meet you for lunch, Paula and I, at 1:30 at Cracker Jack's. So we will see you then, okay? And, I'll talk to you later. I don't even know my phone number here on the cell phone. You probably have it, or it might be on your phone. Let me see if I can get it for you. Hold on. Where is it here? What's that? What's that doing? I think that's raising the volume. But anyway, I can't. It's like 978. I don't know. I'll call you back if we need to, but I'm assuming everything's kosher for 1:30. But I'll give you a call before we leave Paula's. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay, so kids. Let's see here. Is that off? Sugar is right here. Sugar.
Sugar.
Little sugar cat. Okay, I want to see if this is almost done here. Come on, this is probably done. It is done. Look at that. My shirt. I have a nice shirt. That's what I'm going to wear. It's static cling. Oh my god, it's like a storm. A storm of static cling. There's more static cling out here in the Northwest. Okay, I washed these 10.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, fuck me. Mary.
Okay. Apollo was a little concerned. She goes, well, 11, how long is this interview going to go on? I'm like, well, there's my underwear. But I'm not going to leave that because that's my favorite underwear. But I'll leave. And they're my socks. I was going to leave my socks here. I'm not going to leave my socks. Okay, I'm going to go get a pair of underwear. Clean underwear. Underwear I've not worn. I'm going to mix it among the things here. So that's washed. And I'm going to go back out to the... What's the noise? Oh, it's my shoelace. There's like an odor out here. An odor! Find that odor and eliminate it, Lieutenant. Okay, hold on. Okay. My recording equipment. This is the addresses. This is coins. 3 coins for the fountain. Okay, hold on. I should leave my Flatus Show t-shirt here. That would be funny. I'll leave that. I'll leave my Flatus Show t-shirt in the wash. And I'll leave a pair of underwear. They'll be like, whose underwear is this? They won't even know whose it is. This is unworn underwear. Okay. I'll just throw it in the wash pile. Throw it in the wash. And then I'll find out if they found it. So, Randy, did you find the underwear? Do you know which underwear? Do you know which underwear is in your thing? Okay, here's Sister Paula. She's at number 904, ring 099. Okay, so I have this. This is what I need here. Oh, and I also need to have... Do I have Randy's address here? What's really confusing about everything out here is that all the addresses look the same. Down at the Notel Motel. Oh, I should have gotten... You know what? I have my sister's address here. Maybe I can get a postcard and mail them off. Okay, I'm writing down their address in case I... can get down there. Oh, yeah. I have a Sheriff badge. What else do I have? Oh, what is it? Oh, Christmas. What the hell am I doing there? Okay, this can be... Oh, yeah, hold on. This is for the... to leave. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm going to wear the long sleeve shirt. I'll put that on now. Hold on. Hold on. I'm trying to find a place to stick this. How about there? No. How's that? Can you hear me? This is like a really bad... Okay, I think I don't need this shirt. I can just wear a t-shirt without a t-shirt. This is so nice. Well, you know what? I need deodorant. Because I didn't bring my deodorant over. Hold on. Here, you want to hear me put deodorant on? I am 203.5 pounds. I weighed myself naked. My naked body stood on your scale. 203 pounds. 203.5 pounds. I thought I was going to be 215 pounds. That's what I was. I lost 12 pounds. Okay, hold on. Put this here. Hello. Back to good here. What time is it? See, my watch here. 10. Well, I have plenty of time. What am I going to do with myself? Oh, and this afternoon when I come back, we have to go to... I have to take the kids out someplace. I should probably get some... Well, I probably don't need to get gas. That's the thing. They're going to fill up my tank for me when I get back. So as long as I have enough to get to the airport Tuesday night, I'll be good to go. I don't have to worry about... that. I've already paid for the gas. Okay, what can I do now? I could play ukulele music. I'll take the ukulele with me. And I can talk to Emma about what I'm going to do here. Tell her. Okay. That's what I'll do. I'll make notes here. I should have a piece of paper with me. Make notes for Emma. The emanator. I want to know what that emanation was. She still hasn't told me. We'll pick a suitable song. Oh, you know what I should probably have too is my tuner. We'll go back in the house and play ukulele songs. Every time I come out of this trailer, I think of Pink Flamingos. It's a lot nicer than the trailer in Pink Flamingos. But I think of that. All I can think of is, Pink Flamingos. Oh, I see what happens. The bed comes out. That's what makes the room bigger. I think I hit that switch. Okay, here's a fork. And there's a boot over there. Open the boot. Here's a spoon. That's grilling stuff. Oh, you know what? Here's another spoon. And there's batteries. Okay. You better not put this podcast up. Okay, I'm going to bring this in. This doesn't get wet. Or put it under the awning here. Kitties. Kitties. Back. Okay. What do they do here? Are these... I figure the stuff on the floor is the stuff that needs to be washed. So I'm going to mix it around underneath here. There's the underwear. Okay. Put this over here. So I'm assuming they're going to find it at some point. Okay. That's where they keep the wash. There's a Beanie Baby on the floor here. Kitty. The dog is on the bed. There's another cat. Hi, kitty. I'll sit in the living room here. Okay, Emma. This is for you. This is for you, Emma, because I told you I would do it. If I don't get to do it in person. Okay, you hear that chord progression? And back to home. Okay, this is the tonic. Now, this is in the key of C, okay? You probably know that there are, 12 keys in the... music, right? There's 12 keys. And in the C, right? This is C. That's the tonic. F is the subdominant because it's the fourth degree of the scale. This is the fifth degree, but the seventh. It's the seventh chord instead of the regular triad. And that makes it come back to home. So you have a sense of movement, through the scale. Strong. Now, if you just have a regular fifth, that's G, regular G, still sounds like it comes back to home, okay? Now, C, right? Let me make my notes here. Where's my pen? Where did I put my pen? Hello? Come on. I can't believe it. Why did I lose my pen? Oh. I just had the pen. Did it fall down here? This is a pencil. Okay. Where's my pen? Okay, it's my phone. That's another pen. This is my house keys. Right? This is my addresses I need. This is change is the car key. Okay, Sharita. I can't believe I lost my pen. Okay, where was I? Hello? My Renee Fleming pen. Maybe it fell down here. The cat stole it. Is it here? Under the couch? No, it's not. Christ on a cross. I can't believe this. I'm having an anxiety attack. Maybe it fell, rolled on the floor. No. Okay, where was I? Breathe deep, Kenty. Breathe deep. Oh, I put it in the sink. It would have gone to the washing machine. I mean, the dishwasher. Okay, Emma, we're back on the track here. So we have, let me get my little chair here as a prop. So we have a scale, okay? Let's start with the key of C. Okay. So we have C, right? That's a major. So when you have a major chord, right? It's a capital. Okay, let's do it this way. The major chord is just going to be the regular letter C. It could be capital or lowercase. This will work as well. The next, that's the tonic, which is 1. And that's actually, this is where we get the capitals from. That's like a capital I, okay? The next one is, in the scale, is D minor, okay? The second degree is D minor. That's notated by the Roman numeral 2 with 2 I's, lowercase I's, okay? And that is spelt capital D, M, okay? So we have C major, and then we have D minor. Okay, you hear that? D major would sound like this. This is D minor, okay? The next one is E minor. That's the next degree of the scale, and that's a minor too. So that's 3 I's, 3 lowercase I's, and that is this. Sounds like this, okay? And I think regular E sounds like this. I think that's it. I'm not really sure about that one because I don't really play E. I always substitute E7. The next scale is the fourth, right? Remember I told you about the subdominant? It's called a subdominant. The first one, the big I, that's called the tonic, okay, of the scale. The subdominant is F. That's F major, just a plain old F. And that's spelt Roman numeral 4, IV, right, capitals. And that we have C and then F. Now, also, F can be used, that's the subdominant. That can be used as a tone that leads back to the tonic to finish a song, right? When you finish a song, you start with the tonic. You don't have to, okay? This is common practice. You start with the tonic, and then when you want to finish it, you go to the subdominant back to the tonic. That's sort of, I think it's called a half cadence. A full cadence would be using the fifth degree, which is next, which is G, right? Next to F is G. It's a capital G, and that's Roman numeral 5. And that would be regular G. See, it leads back to 1. It sounds like it goes right to 1. Now, if you make a 7th out of that, it even sounds more so because the 7th includes a regular chord has 3 notes, right? It's thirds, but built on thirds. And but a 7th has a 4th note above it, another 3rd above that, and it's a B, I believe. And that's why it sounds like it wants to come back to C, because it's right next to it. B, C, you know, it's like they're so close. The next one is the 6th. That's a lowercase V and an I, right? And that's A minor. And that sounds like this. The next one is called a diminished chord, the 7th one. It's lowercase V, lowercase I, with a little circle. And that means diminished because it has 2 minor thirds. That's B. B diminished. And you write that, you spell that as B, letter B, and then dim, D-I-M. So here, and I don't know how to really play diminished chord for that. I don't know if B dim is on here. Could be. No, that doesn't sound right. That might be the B dim. Okay, so we have C, followed by D minor, E minor, F, G, A, C, okay? Now, when you're writing a song, you can use any of, let's say you're writing a song, this is for, like, to start with, until you know how harmony works, right? You can use any of these chords in here, sort of avoid B dim, right? You can use any of these chords in any row, and you can also make them seventh. So, for example, you know, E minor, which is this, right? This is E minor 7, right? Or D minor 7, right? Even F, you know, remember that F? This is F. This is F7. C, C7. And A minor 7, I think is this. So you can use, these are the main chords you're going to use, okay? So you write your song, you write some music using this chord progression. You want to start with C and end with C, and you probably want to have F or G before that last C, all right? Now, once you get, you know, used to writing little tunes with this scale, right, you don't have to do anything, but to make it more interesting, you could go to another scale, right? You don't have to stay in the same scale, but you want to just go to a related scale, right? So the ones I would choose is like, well, it could go from C to A minor. That would be easy. Okay, A minor is the minor scale relative minor to major C major, because it uses the same key signature, which is nothing in a C. Okay, so if you look at a key signature in traditional music, if you see no little sharps or flats, it's in C or A minor, and you can tell by how often these chords show up. So if you see a lot of A minor and like E7, right? And I'll tell you why E7. Now let's look at this, okay? A minor followed by B dim, right? Followed by C major, followed by D minor, followed by E minor, followed by F, and then followed by G major, right? That's the A minor scale, okay? What is the fifth degree of A? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's E, right? So to bring it back to home, you can use E minor to A minor. That doesn't sound too good, but if you use E7 to A minor, that sounds stronger. So you're actually changing the E minor to an E major 7 to bring it back home. But then in this case, right, we have the tonic is minor, right? And then the second degree is a diminished, right? The third degree is major. The fourth degree is minor. The fifth degree is minor. The sixth degree is major, right? And then the seventh degree is major. So you see the difference here? So that's how you go to A minor. You know, you want to use A, E, and F, or A, D, and E as your main things. A minor, D minor, E minor, A minor. Back home. Let's try that again. A, D minor, do, do. And that's C. I love the Northwest. Boston is crowded. Boston's okay, but Rockport's better. So you hear that, the difference? You can have a little minor action there, or you can have the major action. So, I mean, people think one sounds happy, one sounds sad, but it's just music. So if you, I'll tell you the truth, Emma, if you're composing music, you just want to do what you want to play. You want to write down what you hear, what you want to hear. But you could write something in minor that sounds happy, right? It's all really the quality of the sound. There's no real connection or correlation between the sound and whether it's sad or happy. It's all in your head, and however you want it to do, you know, however you want to do it. Okay, so that's the first scales, right? That I'm showing you on the ukulele, right? This is in C, right? Ukulele is in C. The keys that are easiest to play would be the C major, F, and G, okay? And I'm pretty sure this would be the same for your guitar. Now, I think your guitar is tuned to G, but I have to check it out. So you would want to start with the G chords, G scale, but we have to talk about that. And in that case, you would have, let's see here, G, A minor, B minor, A, B minor, C, that's the subdominant, D is the major, right? E minor, okay, and then F sharp diminished. because G has a sharp. Okay? Kai. And so G would be the tonic, C would be your subdominant, and D would be your dominant. And I think that's the natural, that's how the guitar is tuned naturally, right? And I could show you how to use a capo to change that so you can go to different keys. So you'd be interested in G, C, and D as your probably your main chords, as your main scales to float around in the beginning. And then you can go to remote ones. That's why my tenor ukulele is much bigger than the soprano, right? The soprano is fine. You know, I can play many different, you know, chords. It's easy to carry. You can play tunes. But if I want to go to different chords, if I want to go to different scales or really hard remote scales, I'll use my tenor and use the capo, and I can get things like A flat scales and stuff like that. And it makes for a richer sound when you're going through a song with remote keys, I think, you know. But I think that is it. I'll have to get your email address so I can send you this thing if you want. So later on, you've already will have known, actually. So that's that. So anyway, what we can do, right? I can show you how this works in different songs here. And you can hear how they sound on the ukulele. But it'll be the same on the guitar, you know. The ukulele has a particularly interesting sound because it has a reentrant strings, it's called. The first string, what it is, it doesn't go from lowest to highest. Like when you tune a guitar, it goes from like that low string is all the way to the left, right? And then the next string is higher. And if you look at it written on a sheet music, right, it goes up, goes right up. With ukulele, it's tuned G, C, E, A, right? The C tuning. The G is above the C, so that second string in is much lower than the one before it and the one after it. And that's what gives it its traditional ukulele sound. So what we can do is I can go through some of these pop songs and show you how the scales work, and then it'll give you an idea of how you can write music, you know? You can do some sort of some harmonic look at the harmonic progressions in these to give you some ideas about what you want to do. Let's see here. I'm going to find something. I'll just play the chords, but I'm trying to find something that you might understand. Not understand. I'm sure you can understand all of this. Okay, so Singing in the Rain is very simple. Very few chords in that. Sunnyside. Okay, here's Ukulele Lady. That's an F, though. Where's my chord here? Okay, F. F, G minor, A minor, F, G, A, B flat, C, D minor, E diminished. Okay, so we have F is the tonic, B flat is the subdominant, and C is the dominant. Okay? So in this song, Ukulele Lady, if you like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like you. Okay, so what we did here, if you, that's the tonic, like, that's the third degree, A minor, a ukulele, that's the sixth, ukulele lady. Now we're going to C7, which is the dominant, okay, and then back to F. So you hear that? And so it's F, do, 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 and then the next little phrase, F, A, D minor, F, do, that's G minor, second, do, 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 do. If you kiss a ukulele lady, while you promise ever to be true, and she see Another ukulele lady fool around with you. Now here we go to B flat. We haven't used B flat yet, but it looks like, let's see here, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're going to transpose, we're going to modulate to B flat, which is we're going to go to the scale of B flat, right, using those chords, because it's the fourth degree of F is B flat, right, so it's natural to go to something like that, but it gives you some interest. Now, that was an F, the first part, right? Now here is the middle section of the song in B, using B flat chord progressions. Maybe she'll sigh, maybe she'll cry, maybe she'll find somebody else. By and by to sing to, when it's cool and shady, where the tricky wicky wackies woo. Now we're go. Now we went back to C, or no, G, or F. I mean, I'm probably confusing him. So that little section, right? You go from. I'll play through the song, and I'll tell you when we get to the different songs. Okay, different areas of the song, with the different interesting harmonic feature. Okay, so ready? This is an F. The whole thing is an F. Okay, but it modulates to B flat, so it goes to an area where at a certain moment, you think you're in B flat, but then it goes back to F. Actually, it goes to C. No, C7, it goes to F. Let's see here. G7 to C. Yeah, it actually goes into C a little bit. And then it goes back to F through a series of chords, okay? So we're in F. So if you like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like a you. If you like to linger where it's shady, ukulele lady linger too. If you kiss a ukulele lady while you promise ever to be true. And does she see another ukulele lady fool around with you? Now we're going to the beat that's going to go to a different area of the different. You'll hear the harmonic change. Maybe she'll sigh, because we haven't heard B flat before. Maybe she'll cry, but this is the clincher that you know you're in B flat. Maybe she'll find somebody else, and that goes to C. See right there, maybe that's G7. B, C, D, E, F, G. That's the fifth degree of the B flat scale. So that makes you think you're in B flat because it starts with B flat. Maybe she'll sigh. Maybe she'll cry. That's the subdominant now of B flat. And then we're going to the G7, which is the dominant of B flat. Maybe she'll find somebody else. That's a surprise because G7 is the fifth degree of C. Okay, I have to correct myself. The fifth degree on B flat is F, not G7. G in the B flat scale is the sixth degree, and it's a G minor. So in this case, they use G7 to move from B flat to G7 to go to C. So it sounds good. So anyway, that's that. I have to correct myself, as the, you know, just so my listeners know I'm not on crack. But listening to this, it makes me realize, you know, I probably could teach it if I had written down the notes and everything and had a lesson planned. But I did this off the cuff, so. So there you go. Bye-bye. So it's like resolving to C, okay, and then A minor, and you know, and by to sing to back to F, when it's cool and shady, where the tricky wickies wacky woo, if you like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like a you. That's F. And then we end the song. So you can see how we have traveled through from F So go into like a B flat area and then back to F. And you can tell that, you know, there's two sections, right? In the beginning that are in F. And then there's the third section, which is in B flat. That's the middle section. And then we go back to F. So when you write your songs, that gives you an idea of how songs were written. Of course, songs today sometimes are just repetitions of four or five different chords. So it's really up to you. But I think this, if you study these songs, you'll have a richer sense. You'll have a sense. You'll have a richer experience writing music, Emma. Okay. Whether you like it or not. So I hope I get to talk to you in person. And we'll go over this song, Ukulele Lady. Okay. So it's almost 11. 20 of 11. I have to leave here in a half hour. And I think I'm going to... I'll stop it here, okay? Little music lesson.